Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is among us today. Amen. We begin at the beginning of John 21. This is often called the epilogue to the Gospel of John, not believed typically to be a part of the original Gospel, but maybe written by John himself. It's not unlike, because of how I preach, it's often that I afterward go, oh, I forgot to say that as part of what I'm doing. And so 21 very much could be that from John, and that having finished the gospel, he went, oh, I need to take care of Peter and bring him back in and some of those pieces. So it starts by the Sea of Tiberias. If you remember, that's the Sea of Galilee that Herod renamed for the emperor for just a short period of time. So that's where Jesus did his ministry, there along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. In verse 3, Peter says, hey, I'm going to go fishing. What do we do when the world feels most off-kilter? When we feel the most vulnerable, or when grief is overwhelming to us? We go back to the things that are the most comfortable, the most familiar. We look for the safety of the stuff that we know. Peter was a fisherman. So it makes perfect sense that he's going to say, I'm going fishing. Fishing in that part of the world happens at night. And so they go out in the boat at night and they catch nothing. Nada. Zilch. The next morning, as the sun is rising, they can see on the shore a figure. And they don't yet know that it is Jesus. And that figure speaks out to them and says, children, that's an interesting, intimate word. Just like we talked about, these kids will always be our kids, your kids. That is very much that kind of connection word of relationship and personal being there. Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. Now, in English, that works pretty well because it has this kind of double meaning, right? A, it's, wait, sorry for you guys, right, not left. But B, it's also correct, right? We have that sense of it. In Greek, it's more like throw it on the lucky side of the boat. You're a fisherman. You know that you need a little luck, right? Well, throw it in the spot where you're going to catch some there. What's interesting about that is that that seems to be the trigger for the disciple who Jesus loved to recognize him. He says there in verse 7, it is the Lord. My curiosity and just my fun reading of this text is, did that disciple recognize Jesus because of a dad joke? Like, you got to throw it in the lucky spot, kid. Is it that? Was Jesus that kind of guy who did those kind of things? Makes me wonder. And then you have one of the most hilarious scenes in the entirety of Scripture. Simon Peter, recognizing that it's Jesus, standing up naked, that's the word, probably loincloths would have been fairly typical for the guys to like pile their clothes to try to keep them as clean as possible, because of course they didn't own bunches of them, and they would have had some kind of cloth around their waist, but the word is naked. He stands up, and he's about to swim the 100 yards to shore. So what do you do? Well, of course you put on all of your clothes. What? It makes no sense, right? No sense whatsoever. Except that this is a man who is in deep grief, whose grief about losing his teacher is complicated because of his denial. The last thing that Peter had done before Jesus' death was not once but three times say, I don't know the man. And so you and I know he is in his mind racked with guilt, struggling with what it is to have followed this one and how it is that he can relate and connect to all of the disciples and that movement. So in those moments, those of you who are Ted Lasso fans, you remember the end of season one, Ted says to Rebecca, I forgive you. Divorce makes you do crazy things. Grief makes you do crazy things. And so Peter puts his clothes on and jumps in the water and swims to shore. Once there, there's fish and there's bread. That's familiar, right? The feeding of the 5,000. In other traditions, the Lucan tradition, the Emmaus Road, where they had walked with Jesus and it was in the breaking of the bread that they recognized him. And then there's a fish story. This is fun because every Bible commentator that I've read basically says 153 doesn't mean anything. Every other number in Scripture, 40, it means a lot. 7 means completion or perfection. 6 is incompletion or brokenness. 153, we don't know. This week, a fisherman told me a story. I'm looking at you, Corey. You can relate to this. Fisherman said to me, it's a fish story. And I went, what do you mean? And he said, 30 years ago, I was fishing with Pastor Roger Knorr, a former partner of the congregation, and 2 other guys, good fishermen. I will never forget that day. I know what the weather was like. I know where we went. I know who was in the boat. I know that those really good fishermen on that day had a phenomenal day. One of them pulled in 56 walleye. The other, 65. He said, I will never forget that. He said, this is a fish story, because they were so blown away by 153. Of course, they would never forget that number. Then you get down to the verse 14 and the third time. This is that third appearance. What that is Mary, having left the tomb, talking to Jesus when he thought he was the gardener. That's the first bit. And it wasn't until he did what that Mary recognized him. Do you know? He said her name. Yeah, he said, Mary. And she went, teacher. Now, there's a simple enough explanation. You and I have had the embarrassment of going to the grocery store and running into that person who knows you and who you know you're supposed to know, but you cannot pull their name to save your life. They're in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and it's just vexing because you should, and you know that you should, and you're embarrassed, right? That first bit of being called by name is that first experience of Mary being jarred to, oh, this is something new, and I do know you. Then there's the upper room experiences, 2 appearances a week apart that John puts together. The first one is to the 10 minus Thomas, right? They don't have Thomas there. And then a week later, Thomas, who unfairly, I think, gets labeled doubting. All he wants is the same thing everyone else got. And Jesus, without a word, gives it to him. He just right away says, here, look, do that. There's no resentment in that exchange. And then this final time. It ends then with this conversation with Peter. And this is what most of the commentators say is the point of 21, why we have the epilogue to the gospel. It's because the early Christian community needed Peter to be brought back in with authority and influence. And so these 3 questions, do you love me? What they do is restore him into leadership. But if you notice, the English does an okay job of this. Every time that Jesus then follows up, he says once, feed my sheep. But then the next time he says, tend my lambs. It's the language of Genesis 2. Adam and Eve are sent to tend and to till. We bad translation, have dominion over, is what's happening there. But it really is about caretaking for thriving. That's what God put Adam and Eve there, is to caretake so that the creation might thrive. And so the call to Peter then is to take care of lambs and sheep, that is everyone, regardless of age or position or importance, and to do it in a way that allows them to thrive, to live at their very fullest. And then, just as he had earlier in the gospel, Jesus ends with those 2 words. Before He had said to Jesus, or to Peter, take up your cross, follow me. Here, he has just said to him, your cross is coming, follow me. So graduates, this next bit's just for you. You, most of you, I think nearly all of you at this service, are about to move out of your parents' house. And you're gonna spread your wings, and along the way, you're gonna make mistakes. You're going to then come home at Christmas, and you're going to chafe against the rules of your parents' house. Parents with older kids, you know this to be true at some level, right? That discovering of who am I as a young adult and how do I fit back into that system. You also are likely to not attend church very often. You're going to find other ways of being in the world, and you're going to explore and discover new ways of thinking and being. And then you're going to wonder in both places, do I belong here? And the answer is fully and resolutely yes. Because what Jesus did for Peter in those three questions was not just say, Peter, you can hang out with the disciples, but said to them, I understand you need to be here in a new way. And I'm going to not only leave room, but make room for you as you are today, here in this space, next to, alongside, and with me. So let me tell you what your parents are going to do when you come home at Christmas time. They're going to wash your sheets. They're going to fluff your pillows, and they're going to clean your room. Right, Heather? Mm-hmm. They're going to think about what your favorite meals are. They're going to plan every one of those. My freshman said to me about Thanksgiving, I haven't used a knife all fall. And so all of our meals were steaks and pork chops and knives, right? And they are going to wait anxiously for you to be in that house and to hear the noise and the joy that you bring to them. And they're not going to just leave space for you to be. But they're going to figure out ways to bring you in a way that lets you thrive in that space as you are at that time. The same is true of the church. Wherever you go, however long it is that you might be away, it's not just that there's always space for you, but that the church needs you, the gifts that you have, who you are in its fullest. And we will find ways to take them and to help them be a blessing to the people who are seated around you. And to the rest of you, that is the good news of this text. No matter how we've wandered, no matter how long we've been away, no matter how far we feel like we might be from God's grace, it's not just that there's room for us. It's that Jesus has made a place in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension. He has washed the sheets, fluffed the pillows, prepared for us our favorite meals, and is ready to welcome us home. Amen.